You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Lata Hamilton. She's a change leadership and confidence expert, and she's a creator of the Leading Successful Change program. Hi, Lata. It's great to have you on Ideas and Leaders.
Thanks so much, Elena. It's really great to be here.
So let's start by telling your story. How did you get to become a change leadership expert, and why did you decide to create Leading Successful Change program?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a great question, actually. I think, you know, in my early life and my early years, I've always sort of been interested in sort of more creative aspects, but then also helping people get results and helping people to actually helping to get things done and delivered, and then to actually get the results. So I studied media and communications at university, got to dabble in like all different types of communications, from video and radio and audio to websites and digital and magazines, and so just kind of like the full broad brush of that. Then I worked in advertising, then I made the move across into the corporate world and worked in marketing, and so kind of communications has been a theme and a thread all the way through. And then because of that communications and marketing background, when I was early on in my career, I had done a graduate program. And I came off the graduate program and I kind of went into like almost like an entry level role. And I just felt really, really like stuck and really like underpaid and overlooked. And I was like, you know, I've been on this graduate program. I had done like leadership programs that usually you'd have to be in the organization like at least 5 years before you'd get put in these leadership programs. So it was like I had been being trained as a leader, but then I wasn't being given the opportunities to actually be a leader. And I was sort of being told to like do my time by like the leaders of the business who were like a different generation to me. Like I'm a millennial. So I was very kind of like ambitious and like, you know, wanting to change the world and wanting to like step up and really shine and really have those opportunities, have that variety, have that challenge, and really have that impact and influence. And, you know, I guess if I think about like the millennial generation, like we kind of got told by our baby boomer parents that we would change the world and that like the world was our oyster, anything we wanted, we could do. And so I was feeling really stuck. And so I ended up changing companies and I got like a $20,000 pay rise, which was great. But I was still working in marketing. And then when a colleague, because I was on like a fixed term contract, so I was going to be coming to the end of the contract. And I was like, oh, thinking about what I wanted to do next. And a colleague just randomly out of nowhere said to me, oh, what, I think you'd be really good in change management. And I had never heard of organizational change management before. I was like, what's that? I'd never kind of come across it at university or like learned anything about it or anything like that. And because she'd had project experience, she was like, you know, I think you'd be great in change management. And so I found out a little bit about it, went to a networking event, met some really great people. And I just thought to myself, you know, if this is the kind of profession that these are the kinds of people that the profession of change management attracts, this is the kind of profession that I want to work in. So I made the move into change management, and all those skill sets, all that communications and marketing background just was absolutely gold for making the career change into change. And yeah, I was able to triple my salary in the space of 3 years to earning almost $200,000. So I really got that, you know, increase. I'd like, you know, tripled my salary in just a short amount of time because I made that transition into a higher paid career. So change management is a highly paid female dominated career. But then also I got to really step up and shine as a leader, you know, like within a few years of being in change management. I mean, my very first change role, I was leading the change for an entire project. It was a new product. And I was leading the change for that. So leading the whole of the change for the project. And within a few years, I was suddenly like leading changes that had impacted over 100,000 people, operating model changes that were impacting, you know, tens of thousands of people's role, global cultural transformations that straddle continents, and then digital transformation that's changing the way that we work and operate in our workplaces. So really getting to also not just, you know, be in a profession that use my skills and use my experience in a really great way. Like projects are very outcome focused. They're very short, sharp pieces of work where you need to get results. But then also to be able to bring that creativity, the communications and the marketing angle in, and then be working on something that's really fulfilling, because you're helping people at the time that it matters most. And then, yeah, just being able to step into the leadership role that I knew that I could do, and that I had been sort of working towards, and finally finding that kind of perfect fit for me.
Yeah, it is so in such an inspiring story. I think that our listeners definitely, and include me, myself included, would love to triple their salary in a short period of time. So definitely we would love to ask about this and to get to know about this. But I will also wanted to ask you about the situation of millennials, because you told that you face some issues. And how do you see now as you're working with your clients? What is the situation of millennials in the workplace? What challenges are they facing?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time actually for to be a millennial, because for the first time I feel like we are the central generation. Like, we are the center. We're the ones that are the biggest generation now that's in the workforce. Baby boomers are starting to kind of retire. They're doing it slowly, but they're slowly sort of starting to taper off. We've still got a lot of Gen X who are still in a lot of those leadership positions. But because baby boomers took so long to kind of move out of the workforce, and there's so many are still in the workforce now, Gen X haven't had a lot of room to go anywhere. Like, they've kind of been stifled in their career progression. They're like thinking to themselves, probably whether consciously or unconsciously, you know, I've done my time. I've given decades already. I should already be in C-suite. I should already be on boards. I should already be, you know, CEO, et cetera, et cetera. But because the baby boomers have stayed in their roles for so much longer, like, you know, life expectancy and our longevity is just increasing year on year. And so a lot of baby boomers are staying in the workforce for longer. So Gen X have nowhere to go. So we're an interesting generation, being Gen Y millennial, because we know we can do a lot. We have these big dreams and these big ambitions. The same time, we are coming up still against that sort of senior leadership of Gen X and baby boomers who just aren't clearing the path for us. And now more than ever, we're also at the situation where we're the biggest generation in the workforce, but a lot of millennials are also starting to start families. They're looking for that flexibility. They're looking for that freedom, not just for women, but also for men. And especially, I think because of COVID, it kind of opened up a new way of living and working. It created a shift in expectations and a shift in possibility as to what life could be possible. And I like to think of it like, if you are a millennial and you want to live and work a particular way, like, we are the generation now that can shift and that can change that. We are the generation that can start to put those new ways of working in place, because we have the biggest cohort, but also we are starting to move into those leadership positions. So I think it's really important being a millennial. Like, I think we still can feel, and like right up until kind of like, well, until I kind of made my career change into change management and started to take ownership of my own career, even millennials that I talk to today, they can still feel very stifled in their roles because of that sort of sandwiching of Gen Z coming up behind us, Gen X and baby boomers who aren't going anywhere. But we know that we can do big things, and we know that we want to work in a different way, and we can actually coach up, and we can influence the generations before us to live and work in a different way. Because this, like, I talk to some of them, they're sick of working. Like, they would love to have the flexibility and the freedom too, but it's about breaking the patterns and the expectations that they have about what work and life means to them.
Yeah, definitely the situation is challenging in the workplace, but can you recommend us some solutions? So what skills can we work on in order to actually be more flexible, to double or triple our salaries, as you mentioned? So what would you recommend to our listeners to work on?
Yeah, if I was thinking about sort of like three top skills that would be really handy for you if you do want to sort of progress in your career, if you want to be doubling and tripling your salary in one move, like I've done, like if you want to be starting to step into more leadership roles or being given and seen those opportunities, I do think that there's kind of like three really core skills to kind of think about, skills slash qualities. So the first is communications. Like, I come from a communications and marketing background, and I know, Elena, that you are obviously very passionate about
Yes,
communications and
absolutely.
leadership communications as well, right? So communications is like my bread and butter. Like, if we think about what change management is, organizational change management, I love to define things really simply for my students and my clients. Like, you know, it's moving people from doing things in one way to doing things in a new way in an organization. And we do that through communications, training, and business readiness. So communications is one of the three core pillars of change management. And we don't just do change management for the fun of it. We do it because we want to realize the business benefits. We want to get the results. We want to get the return on investment. And it can be any kind of organizational change. So it could be a new product or a new service. It could be a new system or a new process or a new technology or a new platform or application. It could be a new structure or operating model change. It could be the move to remote work, the move back to the office. It could be a regulatory or compliance change. Anything that's changing in a workplace, we can be supporting with change management. And while change management is obviously a great skill set, like change leadership is what I talk about more. Like, communications is such a major part of change that regardless of who you are, if you're just any type of leader, if you can grow your communication skills, if you can write and create communications that are really clear, really succinct, that look great, that are really like visually appealing and really clean and clear to read. And that you can, the tip that I always give my students is just write the way you talk. You know, like throw the corporate jargon and formal corporate speak out the window and just write the way that you talk. Because out in our normal world and normal life, that's where brands are going. That's where communications is going. And because, you know, there's fewer baby boomers and Gen X in the workforce. So those old standards, like I came from a media and communications degree. I learned journalism and I learned how to write news stories for a broadsheet newspaper, big broadsheet newspaper. That's not how people consume the news anymore. People consume the news in short snippets, short, sharp bites, you know, on their feed of social media or on a news site. It's like we have to shift the way that we communicate as leaders in our organization if we expect to get cut through, if we expect to get readership, and if we expect to actually get engagement and impact through our communication. So growing your communication skills is a really key one. Change management, obviously, like there is no doubt whatsoever. I think COVID really brought it to the fore for a lot of companies and a lot of countries globally that change is really upon us and that it's just going to increase, especially with digital technology and transformation like automation and artificial intelligence. We are just going to have more and more change at a faster and faster pace. And it's really up to us as leaders to inspire and empower our teams and our people as to how to cope with the change that's coming down the line and what that's going to mean for their jobs and for potentially their livelihood. So they're really looking to us. They're looking to us as leaders to help them with that. And so growing change leadership skills, growing change management skills, learning how to understand how to take people from what they're currently doing to a new way and doing it in a really inspiring and empowering way. And that's why I talk a lot about change leadership instead of change management. Because I'm like, we don't just want to manage change. We want to inspire change. We want to help people feel empowered around what the future looks like. You know, people are not problems. We don't just want to manage them. People are potential. We want to tap into them and ignite them and inspire them to do more and be more and dream more in the future.
Change leadership. I think that it is an interesting way to have a look at it, because you're not just speaking about leadership and leading mm-hmm. people. You're not just speaking about change management, but you're combining those two areas. And I think yes. that it is so important to think of it this way, because this is basically what leaders do in the workplace, right? They are managing Absolutely. Different changes, everyday changes, and at the same time, they need to develop their teams and develop their employees, right? So do you have any yeah. tips, any suggestions on how we can practice this change leadership, what we can do with our teams to make them thrive?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like some practical tips that you can absolutely do is to, you know, when you're so often as a leader, you'll have change coming down the line to you. So if you've got change cascading through to you, you take the time to understand that change, to create what that's going to mean for your team, to understand what that's actually going to mean for your team, and to help almost be a change translator, to be able to actually curate and sort of construct what that's going to mean for your team and help be the conduit of those change messages. So if you're like receiving change from above, then you can absolutely be the conduit for that. and help your team get on board. That might mean that you curate communications that are coming down to you, that you help your team not be overwhelmed by actually going, everything can come through me, and then I'll pass that through onto my team. Another way, though, you might be initiating change yourself. And so actually taking the time to step through and think about it from a change management approach, which is like, you know, what do we need to do? What are the impacts going to be for people? How do we plan for this change? How do we support people along the way? And, you know, my program Leading Successful Change teaches you how to do that end to end, the change delivery. And we actually get like a lot of business leaders who aren't necessarily change managers. They don't even necessarily want to move into a change management role, but they know that like they want to be able to support their teams end to end. So, you know, I go through all of that in a lot of detail in Leading Successful Change, but a really kind of practical thing to do is to actually just work, like sit down and really think about, well, what is this actually going to mean for my team? What's actually going to change for them? What would they need to shift in the way that they do things, their mindset, their behaviors, their processes, the tools that they use, the way they work? What's going to need to change for them? And then what are some of those risks that might happen with that? And how can I help my team to avoid those risks? It's a really simple process. This is pretty much like assessing impacts, what we say in change management. And then the biggest thing ever is, you know, people are just looking for that guiding light. They are looking for somebody that they can get behind, who can take care of them, who can support them, and who can be an inspiration to them. So a really big part of just being a leader, regardless of whether you're leading change or not, but obviously leading change, it can be a really emotive time for your team. It can be a really challenging time for your people. So more than ever, when you're leading change, you really want to grow your own confidence. You want to have absolute clarity. And I love to kind of define it really simply. It's like who you are, what you want, who you are, what you bring to the table, what you want, the value that you bring. So like, what is it that you bring that nobody else brings? So for example, for me in change management, I'm also trained in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short, neuro-linguistic programming, which is the study of excellence in behavior, communications, and psychology, or our emotions. So I'm trained in NLP and I'm trained in coaching. So the special kind of like unique ingredient that I bring to change management, and why I kind of talk more about change leadership, is that I bring NLP and coaching into change management in order to get, you know, to not just engage minds, but also engage hearts, to get stakeholders on board, to bring people on the journey, to inspire and empower them. So it's like, what is your unique value? What is the value that you bring that other people maybe in your role or in your industry or profession don't? And then what you're worth. You really need to, if you're expecting to inspire and empower others and help them get through change, you also need to be earning what you're worth, being remunerated appropriately and abundantly for the skills and the experience that you bring to the table. Because if you don't, if you're not currently earning what you're worth, it's like energetically that has a flow-on impact to your team, because like we are just bundles of energy, right? So it's like if you are resentful or feeling unappreciated and undervalued, that is going to have a flow-on ripple effect to your team. Building that confidence for yourself, who you are, what you want, the value you bring, and what you're worth, building that for yourself means that you can show up and shine as the leader that your team needs.
Yes, absolutely. It is so important to work on ourselves, not just on our teams, and make them work better, but we need to also go inside, right? And to do this self-work. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about this situation that happened to me a couple of times, because I am a communication consultant and I'm doing trainings on communication and leadership. And sometimes when I reach out to company, to client, and I say, I send them an offer, or I'm speaking about what I can do for them, and I hear something like, you know, we are going through a big change right now in our organization. Organizations are always going through changes.
Yes.
Like it is nonstop process. And we're going through a big transformation, a big change right now. Maybe it is not a good time. Can you reach out in 3 months or in 6 months, depending on the... And I heard it a couple of times. So I think, in my opinion, and as you say, connect leadership and communication to change, I think that it is so important, even going through the change process, to build those skills, to build those communication skills and leadership skills in order to make this change more smooth and more effective. So what would you say to such people who are saying, oh, this is not the best time for me to work on my communication skills or leadership skills? What would you say? Do you think it is worth working on it right now, or do you think that there will be a better time?
Absolutely. I think you've like hit the nail on the head, Elena. It's like the fact that they're going through change, there's never been a more important time that they build their communication skills. And you can really talk about it, right? Like you can be like, if you don't communicate this change effectively, if you don't bring people on board, if you don't inspire them from the inside out, if you don't engage their hearts and minds, if you break trust and create resistance and create negativity and start losing staff, like, is your change going to be successful? And that's what happens. Like, honestly, one of the biggest things that people complain about during a change, during an organizational change, is lack of communication. It is one of the biggest things. And while, yes, you always have those people in an organization who are like, I get so much communication, I can't keep up. We are in an information overload. There is a lot of communication clutter. But when it's change, actually, there's never been a more important time to not just communicate, but communicate well, communicate effectively, have multiple channels for that communication. Think about what it is that you're communicating, who needs to hear about it, where those messages need to go, how that's going to cascade through the organization, what might happen. So, like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, if I'm working on a project team, for example, like there's a change in the team or something big's happened. And you don't find out about it, and you're the ones working on the project. It's like your project team is a stakeholder group as well. Or you might have like, you might be a business as usual team, like a business team. And it's like comms goes out onto social media. Your own internal team didn't know about it. Like that happens all the time, like all the time. Or a system gets switched on and you never communicated to your customers about it. And you never communicated to your internal teams about thinking through like what's going to be different for them. Like I've worked with clients and on projects. Well, not the projects that I've worked on, but I've worked with clients where that's literally happened, where they've gone and switched on a system or made a change in a system, and their whole operations has stopped because they didn't tell anybody ahead of them doing the change. They didn't communicate to customers so that there was a level of expectation that, okay, cool, there might be a bit of, you know, wishy-washiness for a few hours or for a few days, and like their whole business service stopped. And so it's like taking the time to really understand change leadership and to really think about what that communication strategy for change should look like. Who are all the stakeholder groups? Who needs to be communicated to what and when? How can you, even if you think everything's going to go smoothly, project teams, business leaders are very optimistic people, which is great, but you know, plan for the worst so that when the best happens, you can celebrate. And if you need to communicate fast and quickly, you've already primed people for the possibility of there being a little bit of a hiccup or a little bit of a delay of service or something like that. But then also you've opened up those channels to get feedback back in. So it's like communicate more during change, not less, because you know, people can always communicate about, can always complain about too much communication. But if you communicate, they can't turn around and say they never knew. And you're making it easier for yourself to actually extract the benefits from the change and reduce and mitigate any risks of the change as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I felt this as a this case as a being a leader in a nonprofit organization during COVID. And I was a district director in Toastmasters International for several European countries. So I had a lot of people that I had to communicate with. And we did not know, leadership team did not know what to do because the pandemic started and we had no idea where it will go. No one knew, right? And we just decided that we're going to communicate with people regularly. And we just literally wrote something. We have no idea. We don't know what will happen next. Maybe this, maybe that. But we are with you. So even such communication that I'm here, and people really appreciated that they had this regular communication during some kind of change transition to online meetings, for example, and to many things done differently. So I think that people really appreciate this communication, and they, even if it is too much, so someone will not maybe open this email, but for some people it is important to feel seen, to feel heard, and to be able to communicate, to answer back, to ask questions also, and to get their questions answered. I think it is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was saying, like I think COVID just shone a light on just how underprepared so many organizations and so many leaders were globally to lead change. Like it kind of pushed the problem to the surface and the gap to the surface. And that, I think that's why we're seeing change management just grow so rapidly. Like it's just grown so much since COVID hit. Organizations always needed to do it because digital transformation was on the horizon and job loss, more importantly, from digital transformation, like millions of jobs worldwide. I think the World Economic Forum estimated like 75 million jobs worldwide would get impacted by digital transformation. So organizations already needed to do it, but it took COVID kind of like forcing their hand, like forcing it to the surface for them to really recognize that change management and change leadership was a gap in their organization. So we're really starting to see the profession grow. You can move into change management from any field. Like I moved from marketing, but you can move from operations, you can move from human resources, you can move from project management, you can move from communications, learning and development, training. Like it doesn't matter where you've come from. Change management is a transferable skill, and just like communications is a transferable skill. So it's sort of like now we're seeing all of these really great people who maybe always knew there was something missing. But they finally have kind of put their finger on it that, oh, that's what was missing. That change management approach, that change management lens. And we're starting to really see kind of like a big growth in the field of change, maybe people wanting to learn about change management. And then also just change being something that's brought into organizations, especially when they're going through a big transformation or a big transition. Like if they don't have a change manager, it's like, what are you expecting to do? Like so many business leaders don't automatically and naturally have that change lens and that change thinking. So helping to bring in some expertise or bring in some capability, you know, like I'll go and work with a client and they might be a organization that literally has zero maturity in change. They've never had a change manager work with them before. They know nothing about it. And so I'll go and like show them what good change management looks like and then build the capability of their team so that any change that happens in the future, they'll be ready for and they'll be ready to lead.
Definitely. So this is it is so important to have this approach. So Lata, what would you recommend to, we are coming to the end of our conversation. What would you recommend to our listeners? What should they focus on? What are the main outcomes of what we discussed?
Yeah, I think, you know, it really just comes back to confidence. I think if you can be confident in yourself, that will just move milestones and mountains for you, right? Like it's just like if you can be confident and just show up with that confidence, that builds so much trust and, you know, it deepens the trust that you have with yourself and it creates that trust with your teams and with your leaders and with your stakeholders. So, yeah, if you want to go grab, I've got like on my website, I've got my free underpaid and overlooked coaching action guide. And so many of the activities, I've got like 5-step career change formula to change careers with confidence and earn your worth. But so many of those activities that are in those 5 steps are really just about growing your own confidence, growing your own self-worth, growing your own understanding as to who you are, what you want, the value you bring, and what you're worth. And so, yeah, I would just really recommend to kind of go and grab that. You can get that from latahamilton.com/worth it because you are worth it. And come follow me on LinkedIn. You know, like I'm posting always about this stuff. I post a lot about communications, about leadership, about change management, because I just think that this information is so important. We really need to get it into the hands of more leaders, and especially more women, because yeah, it's such powerful information and we can absolutely change our world if we change our approach to change and we change the way that we lead in organizations through adopting more of a change leadership approach.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lata. So your LinkedIn profile and your website, we'll definitely put those links under this episode so that our listeners can reach out and contact you. Thank you so much for offering your free guide also on the website. I think that it is a great gift for our listeners as well. I'm encouraging everyone to go and have a look what Lotta prepared for us. Thank you so much for being on Ideas and Leaders. It was such a pleasure having a conversation with you. Thank you for this optimistic approach that everything is not so bad and we can definitely work on ourselves and improve our organizations from bottom up. Thank you, Lotta.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.